Erica, good evening. This is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee meeting. The date is Thursday, August the 31st, 2006. And we are now in a public session for the National Finance Committee. We'd like to welcome everyone on. And we have sent out an agenda, and I'll briefly go through it. We have the roll call and approval of agenda. We're going to review our action items from the last meeting, including the mail drops, and we looked at foundation headcount, the financial impact of the motions before the PNB. We'll have the CFO report on our budgets and on the national office budget. We will look at new business, and then we plan to adjourn. The approximate time is an hour and a half, but we're trying to cut this down since our delay in getting into public session. So first, my name is LaVarne Williams. I'm the chair and the treasurer. And for today, we have our secretary is Casey McFall. She's not here today. And Patty Heffley has agreed to take minutes for today. So we would like, Patty, if you could take the roll call, we would appreciate that.
Okay. Jane Gatewood? Jane Gatewood here?
I'm here.
Okay. Patty Heffley's here. Rudy Beniaco?
Here.
Dave Adelson?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Brian Edwards Peekert?
Here.
Sandra Rawline? Teresa Allen?
Here.
Casey McFall? Ambrose Lane?
Here.
Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
And we have Greg Guma?
Here.
Mr. Here. We have quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And what I would like to do first is to go into the action items that we had from the prior meeting. And those included, we talked about the mail drops that were expected, and Lonnie sent out a spreadsheet looking at the mail drops, and I don't know if everyone had an opportunity to look at that or if you'd like to discuss that. And then also we talked about having the headcount for the plan, so perhaps we can kind of like briefly discuss that. So do we want to go to discussing the mail drops?
Excuse me. The mail drops and what the plans are?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes, Lonnie.
The mail drops and the foundation headcount are part of they're both part of the national office budget. Could we
just drop down to that budget? Okay, fine.
So next,
if we want to move those, does everyone agree with that? Or are there any concerns about that action?
We're going to move right now to the national office budget and discuss it in that context. Is that what was said?
We can. If you propose that, Lonnie, would you like to start that now?
Yeah, I might as well do it. It's all part of the national office budget. You know, it's part of the planning process, and I thought I might just fold it in. In the national office budget report that I do.
Okay. So we'll proceed now with the. So what we will discuss now is the national office budget, and Lonnie Hicks, our CFO, will proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me? Am I too loud or too?
No, you're fine, Bruce.
I'm fine. Okay, great. As we look at the national office budget, and we're talking about fiscal 07, for the benefit of those that sort of don't have it before them, let me just do a few general items and then talk about the specific items we've mentioned about mail drops and.
Lonnie, are we talking about the same budget you distributed before last meeting?
I think I sent out the request came at the last meeting, and I sent out the headcount as a spreadsheet and also the mail drop template. I sent one at the meeting last time, then I sent another one today.
Oh, no, I got that. I'm asking in terms of the overall budget for the national office. Are we still working off that document from last meeting?
Yes, the national office budget. And just some general comments about it. And then some of the assumptions in that budget, which will get us right to mail drops and the headcount. And if you recall, we also sent along Greg and I did an email identifying, and Greg, jump on anywhere you want, some of the critical items in the national office budget and some of the initiatives. There was a request that we look at some of the programs and initiatives coming out of the national office, so we sent along an email which goes into detail on what those initiatives and expenditures for FY07. The first item was looking at raising $500,000 more in listener support revenue in the national office budget for fiscal year 07. And that's a hefty increase. The drivers, if you look at our email, the plan is to spend that additional revenue, the $500,000, on increasing support for the affiliates program, $50,000, understanding that they, too, will be seeking to pay for it by increasing the revenue from the affiliates program from $150,000 to $200,000. But in case that does not happen, then we, of course, have Plan B, which is to raise it through the mail drop. So $50,000 of the $500,000 would go to increasing support to the affiliates program. And that has, you know, detail to it in terms of adding an assistant to the affiliates coordinator. $25,000 would go also to outreach and marketing, including funds for conferences, brochures, and promotional materials. So the idea here is to expand the affiliates program, add more support with an assistant, and do more outreach. Another $24,000 would go to an assistant for our webmaster. But more than that, it, that person would be helped to maintain support for AudioPort, for some of the new websites that are being brought online, and for a National Technology Director, which is currently an interim position. And so we're adding and investing in that infrastructure, internet, website, AudioPort, as well as some technology support. In terms of the KU. We're also adding $37,000 for the National Programming Initiative that we were talking about, fall election series, where we're talking about the new programming. Greg can talk about that in detail. $100,000 additional support for FSRN. We're in negotiation with them, looking toward exploring integration, an additional $90,000 for Spanish language newscast. So national programming is a good amount of that $500,000. And then we're also trying to raise money for the national office, per se, to support operations. And we need funds to meet the board approved 1 month operating. So is the extra $500,000 feasible, possible, and how can we do that? Again, what the history has been, we think it's feasible to do because the history has been, and it's also in that email that we sent out, that we have, you know, learned how to raise money at the national level with mail drops, mailing to members of progressive organizations around the country, ACLU, Nation, groups, Mother Jones, folks that you folks know, those members have supported us in terms of wanting to support independent media, and we've had good luck in doing so. We particularly have good luck in terms of support in election years. During the last election, 2004, support was really generous and very successful. And one of the mail drops, the mail drop from that election year was sent along as an attachment to you. That's why I sent the one from that election year, because when in an election year, we do particularly well with mail drops. And we're coming, of course, with an election just coming up. They will support us, too. Election and event, we're in a network. So will we be able to raise the funds? We also plan, so the mail drop is there. If you look at the handout, that spreadsheet, you'll see that what the costs are, what the printing costs are, what the average gift is. It's very detailed. And we think that if we double the mail drop in a given year, we usually mail 1 million pieces. And we usually, if you can look at FY06, you can see that we look to raise about 700,000 doing that. We think that doubling the mailing, that is, instead of mailing just 1 million pieces, if we mail 2 million pieces, one in September close to the election, and one in March or in late spring or early summer, we can raise we can do another 1 million piece mailing and raise the 500,000 that we've talked about, as well as to raise some funds that that we have included in the budget that we think stations will likely need. Let's move on to the other.
Let me just jump in for a second, Lonnie.
Yes.
On this direct mail, because the question that was asked last week is it feasible? You know, will it work?
Yeah.
And to some extent, that's what the chart, the 2000 mail fund drive, you know, finance chart is meant to show you, although it may not be obvious. But basically what it shows is that the response rate we've been getting over the past year is 1.339%. Okay, 1.3 to 1.4% response on mailings that we're doing. The industry average is 1%, 1.5 is considered good, 2% is considered great. If you're under 1%, you're not doing what you should be doing. That's sort of the rule of thumb. So we're doing a little better than we should be doing. And the mailings that we did last year, this last period, is, I'll see how many pieces, was not 500,000 pieces, but close to 500,000 pieces of mail that were done. And basically, if you look at the figures, that you find that we had, you know, for that 500,000 or less than 500,000 pieces, we got 5,875, almost 5,900 responses. Okay, that's more than 1%, 1.339, okay? And if you do the math on that, the average contribution was above $60, somewhere between $60 and $65. Now, some people contribute more. That's not as much as people give on average to the stations over the course of a year, but it's a pretty good number. And if you, but and so if you did 2 million pieces and it held to that rate, you would, the 1.3, you would be doing much more than $1.2 million in direct mail. But even if you just got 1% response rate, the industry standard, which would essentially be 20,000 people sending in $60 to $62 a piece, you would make $1.2 million. So if you want to look at it strictly on raw numbers and then on what our track record is, it's feasible. Whether we'll do it and whether we'll exceed it or how good the mailings are and the list we pick, that's the big variable. And the fact that we've been testing for 2 years with different mailing lists and have a list broker that can identify for us the right lists and the right parts of the country means that at this point we're in a position to potentially maximize our response rate and do better. Only use the lists that are really working for us, eliminate those that haven't performed well in the past, and optimize. So I would say, yeah, it is possible if you mail 2 million pieces of mail over the next year to raise the amount of money that's in the budget. In fact, the figures from the last year indicate that it should be. Even if we simply maintain what we've been doing to date, that would happen. Finding 2 million good names is another question, and that's what we'll be working on for the next months. And we have them identified for this first round. The spring will have to be decided separately and what the pitch is and all of that.
Brian here. I guess I'll just shoot.
Go for it.
Thanks for the historical sheets. I think it shows that you guys have been doing some really good work. What I still want to see is a calendar for the coming year, showing me when you're planning to do drops and what you're expecting the returns on those drops to be, so that we have benchmarks to evaluate whether or not this is succeeding as we go along, so that there's room for a course correction. If necessary. That would be tremendously helpful. It would also be helpful to see those mailings that are intended to be acquisition mailings, distinguished from those that will use the list of the stations themselves.
Yeah, we have to keep track of that for ourselves, too. And there is a lot of record keeping on how the money's coming in and from what lists. And so we can provide you with that information. Right, Lonnie? We've been doing that right along.
Well, we do that routinely.
Yeah, pretty much.
And even in the report that we gave out to you, it does tell you at the top acquisition versus in-house. We do joint mailings as we are planning with the states, but the timetable is roughly the following. We have
You don't have to give it to me orally. I just want to see it on a spreadsheet at some point before we vote in your budget.
This is Jane.
Sure, Jane.
In the text here, I see reference to national office listener support was $231,000 in 2002. Is that referring to income from mail drops?
Yeah, in an election year.
Okay.
We want apples and apples, yeah. And that shows you what was possible in that election year.
Okay, so and then it says, within 3 years, national office listener support rose to $834,000. So that's referring to 2005.
Yes.
I can't find that on the spreadsheet for the national office. Line 964 shows, 963 listener support was zero, but underneath that, major donations, which I'm suspecting might be what the mail drops were referred to.
Yeah, they're called donations because technically the National Office doesn't have listeners.
Okay, so, I mean, I know that it's half semantic but half numbers. I'm going to focus on the numbers first. I see in 2005 audit major donations of $626,000. So I'm just curious where that $834,000 comes in 2005. Right now I'm just looking at the national office audited numbers, income.
We got 626 plus the SCA income, 300,000.
The SCA income, which was
386,000.
So that is a million there.
Yeah.
So where's the 834,000?
405.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to make these things. I'm trying to understand what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, that's the numbers are the numbers. That comes from the auditors. When we submit the numbers, the auditors arrange them that way. Yeah, it'll be more actually. So maybe
the SCA, that's the sideband income, right?
Yeah, and it's considered partially listeners' income according to some formula these auditors use. Yeah.
Okay, so you think that some portion of that 386 they assign to that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so then when we switch over to calling it listener support in our budget, the number I see for 2006 is projected to be 564,000.
No, 06 is 779,000.
You know, after our last meeting, Lonnie, you told me I could get the projected forecasted total for 2006 off of that income statement that you sent out last couple weeks ago. On August 15th, you sent us the July income statement, and I was trying to see our forecast totals for 2006, and I see these numbers that are included in this report. Those are not the numbers that were in that income statement, so I'm wondering
which one do you have?
Well, at the top of mine, the one you sent out on August 15th, and it was the July income statement.
No, there's been one since then. Revised. It's called revised.
After August 15th, you sent out another one?
Yeah, and it's called revised.
Could you send that again?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, as we
okay.
try to estimate for 06, it will change, week to week.
Week to week, right. But it's $1 million more. Fund. Yeah, it was just a big number because on this one you were forecasting the total listener support for 2006 being $12,278,000, and now in this report you're talking about the $13 million. I was thinking, wow, that's a big difference between in 2 weeks. I wondered what had changed. But
no, what happened there is that one station had been taking out major donations and not including it in listener support, that station being WBAI. And properly, it should have been in listener support, not separated out in major donations. That's what happened there.
Oh, okay, so there is a different spreadsheet that I don't have.
Yeah,
okay.
What happened in reviewing the accounts, we found that WBI had been putting, we had put $395,000, as a matter of fact.
But that's not $1 million.
And it should have been in listener support.
But, I mean, I was just surprised by the over $1 million increase in listener support revenue from the...
So how did it go from 395 to $1 million?
Well, it. Let me look at what I have.
Anyway, if you send out the most recent one, that would be very helpful. And
yeah, I'll just give you what it is right now. And that because, as you remember, we're talking about several stations were doing input from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And some of them were in various stages of completion. Some of them had it right, some of them did not.
Gotcha.
And when we reviewed their input, I'm thinking now about K and WBAI, we found out that they had, you know, misclassified some revenue and it wasn't in the right category. And that's why I had to do a revised one, and that's the one I sent out. Because you recall that all of the stations, at least some of the stations, were still revising their account input from some of them going back to October because of the crash we had. And, well, the deadline was August 15th, but two stations, did not make that deadline. So there had to be an additional income statement issued, and that's what I did with revised, where revenues were properly classified where they should be. So the numbers did change.
Okay, and then just one more question, Lonnie. So that the in one of the reports you sent to us, I think you mentioned that there was one station that still hasn't completed input. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
And which station is that?
That's WBAI. They still have not yet completed their input and gone through what we call our verification process. We check it against the bank statements. We check it against cash. And they're not yet complete.
Do we have a projected completion date?
We had a meeting last night, actually. We were talking about that. We had a conference call with the LSB Finance Committee there. And, we're told a week next week. Next Wednesday, next Thursday.
Thank you.
Lonnie, I'm sorry, could you clarify that? You said next Wednesday or Thursday, what will happen?
They'll finish cleaning up those accounts and when they're classifying the revenue and the expense accounts accurately. That would be WBAI. They're still working on their input. In accounting, you can't really get good final numbers until every station and every unit is accounted for. Because numbers can change drastically, as you can see. On input, you might find duplication, errors, and, swings occurred, as they did with WBAI from the input we've had so far, as you can see. So I'm saying all of the numbers we're working with now for 06 have to be taken with a grain of salt. Until that last station, in this case, ABI, is complete. The rest of the entries we're okay with. We think they're accurate. We checked them out. We looked at them. But WBI, we're still waiting on.
Okay, and you're sending out the budget or the plan, the latest plan that you sent out on the 15th or later?
It's later. It's called revised, yeah.
Okay, so we should get that shortly?
Yeah, I did it. I'll send it again. It's revised. It may look like the same one, but it's actually different. And I'll send out what I got from WBI actually last night, and I've updated it. And I'll send that out so we have the absolute latest material. But keep in mind that WBI has another week to work at it. Their numbers will likely change.
Okay.
Just for your information, Lonnie, the one that I caught those numbers from, you had also called revised. So it's getting tricky at this point when everyone is revised. But,
well, I'm giving you the information as I get it. So
right.
I'm
assuming that the one that you're sending out has that $13,278,000 or whatever it is.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. As I said, as I get the information and the meetings come by, I update it. So I will send it out. Right now I'm looking at it. Because we just got some revisions from WDI. 13,586 is the number, and I do have it. As a matter of fact, I'll try to send it out as we sit on the call so folks will have it.
Okay.
And that way everybody will have it. We don't have to. That is the latest number, and I got those numbers from WDI on yesterday. And then they basically said, well, we have more work to do. It'll take another week. So that's
okay.
Where we sit for right now.
Okay. Are there other questions? Are there other points you'd like to make, Lonnie?
Well, you know, it's doing the budget for 07. Someone referred to our email as a doomsday email. And Greg, you can jump in it with me. But it's troubling. Here's what's wrong with the budget for 07, at least from where I sit as a CFO. I sent out an earlier email, I think back in 07, where if you look at each station in terms of whether or not they meet the board criteria of having the 1 month, no station does meet the criteria except for WPFW. That is to say that no station has the 1 month meets the board, the 1 month proviso. That is troubling. That if we have for FY07 a budget where we are budgeting $1 million, that is everyone, stations, national office. What we need, as I'm always saying in these meetings, we need at least 1 month operating expenses. For 07, that will be $1.6 million. And that means we're only budgeting $1 million. We did that again. We did that for 06 as well. We only budgeted $919,000, and we needed to be budgeting 1.5 so that each station would have their 1 month. Now, what does that mean? You all know what I'm going to say. That is, if we go October 1st with only $1 million in the bank, we're short $500,000-$600,000, and that rolls on through. It's cumulative because stations will have to make pay October expenses. It's sort of like not having all of the mortgage on the first of the month. Half the mortgage won't do. You got to have the home mortgage. And what it means for 07 and why it's more troubling than in previous years is that that 2 years in a row of missing that 1 month proviso will, by the end of FY07, as we indicate in this email, will crash. We will crash. We will hit that wall. That is why we have undertaken at the national office to raise that extra $500,000, because that tries to offset what is easy to see is coming our way in FY07. That email is trying to clarify exactly what that problem is. And the issue, though, is even with raising the extra $500,000 by these mail drops that we're talking about, by the end of FY07 and looking on to FY08, we need to look at fundamental changes in the financial structure of this network, because beyond that, I cannot see how we could continue. We're going to be forced to either restructure stations to meet the current revenue that we, in fact, are producing, look at increasing our audience in order to meet the expense structure that we are currently growing, or we'll have to get really creative on new revenue. And none of those, I think in my June report, I laid out three options. You know, we either have a program strategy, a national program strategy, where listeners have said, we want more national programming, and we are sort of demonstrating with these mail drops, they will pay for it. They have. It's amazing. They have sent money wanting to see Spanish language programming, wanting to see more coverage of election and national events, and they responded. The other alternative was to restructure stations on a case-by-case basis such that they're financially sustainable. The other one was to look at creative sources of revenue over and above national programming and have ourselves a network that is sustainable. So the memo that we sent out does speak for itself. I'm glad that we will have a budget discussion at this board meeting because it's much needed.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. I think that also, you know, for those on the call, we need to point out that some stations have a reserve that that is almost in excess of 3 months of operating expenses. So when you say only PFW, you mean in the current plan that they have they're adding a 1 month reserve to their reserves. But in the case of KPFA, I believe the reserve is around $1 million. So that's 3 months of a reserve. And I believe KPFK, I can't look at it here, also has at least a month and a half or something there, or maybe two on.
Beginning the year, but as the year goes on. Yes, true. Thanks for that correction, LaVon. You're right. But in accounting, it's their savings. And I'm sort of focusing on, yes, they have savings they can draw upon. What I'm focusing on is how much cash surplus or profit they're throwing off from current operations. And if you look at FY07's budget for KPFA, they are planning, you know, they're saying that, well, we'll only raise a surplus of $100,000, $103,000 to be exact. I understand that number's even gone down from there.
Less now, yeah.
Well, if that's the case, that their 1 month operating expenses, which is around $350,000. So they will be drawing against those savings by the end of FY07 in order to have 1 month going into October 2007. So even the folks with reserves, what I'm saying to the...
No, look, Lonnie, we carry a cash balance in a savings account. We carry a separate cash balance in an operating account.
Yeah, sure.
And that has a six-figure balance, that operating account, on October 1st.
Yeah.
That we're able to tap without ever touching savings. And we also have income in October.
I'm saying that in FY07, your cash will increase by only $100,000, $103,000. But your monthly operating costs, as you can see, if you look at the monthly expense figure that you're working with, it's about $350,000. So in that following month of October, you only have $100,000 going into October 1st. Where do you get the rest of the remaining $250,000? Well, you'll likely draw against your cash reserves, that is to say, your savings. Yes, I'm saying yes, you do have them. Yes, you will use them. But you can't do that every year. And the following, that is heading toward, you know, using up your savings. And what any CFO, any accountant will tell you, you can get away with it in FY07. But beyond there, you're going to have a plan not to do that 2 or 3 years in a row because your savings will be depleted. And those savings that are there, that $750 million, is the result of that the efforts for KPFA and other stations over 57 years. You hate to see one-third of it, or $200,000 or $300,000 go away in 1 year. It's taken so long to accumulate it. So that's the red flag that I'm waving. And we got to be careful. Now, if you look to other stations other than A, they don't have any reserves near that magnitude. And if that's the case, sooner or later, one station or another will be in need of real cash. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to look at KPFA's reserves. And those reserves may not be, you know, the board may decide, okay, KPFA, since you have most of the money, you may have to support this station or that station. So there's a precarious, that's a precarious situation.
You know, you do that, everyone around the network's going to say, well, we better spend every penny we save the next year, or they're going to take it away from us.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what folks will do. So it is in our interest to make sure that each station is financially sustainable so that it won't draw and maybe drain the resources of other stations that have been working hard. So that is what needs to be discussed here at Pacifica, and we need to make sure that all boats are sustainable such that that one won't in fact, or two. Now, what I'm seeing in the FY07 budget, if you look at my email, you're asking the question, how many stations from the operation side, that is to say what they're doing in FY07, aside from saving, are going to be producing there for 1 month and meet the board requirement? Well, not enough. And we don't know because three stations haven't yet finished their budgets, but at this point, with the best estimates we have, you have three, maybe four stations, three stations not going to meet the board's requirements. And we have another finance committee, and those stations will weigh in, and they'll do their budgets, and maybe they will, in fact, meet those requirements. But at this point...
Question?
Yeah.
I'm not where I can see the budget. What is the status of the national office 1 month surplus in this budget?
We're about 28,000 away from where we need to be. So we're working on it. And by we'll solve that problem. It's not so 20,000 is sort of manageable. Yeah. But right
second
now.
Second question. No. In this section of the discussion, we're focusing on the national office budget. Is that correct, Madam Chair?
Line is just kind of going over where everyone's standing in terms of the reserve requirement or the need to carry over a month of reserve, a month of operating expense on the balance sheet.
Understood, but I thought we were going to talk about the items that are in the national office budget. Was I wrong about that?
We've already gone over most of that. Yeah. You had a question about some of it?
No, that's okay.
We've been discussing Jane had discussed the revenue, the SCA revenue. You had some more questions about the budget and the line items
I did. Well, it's not so much line items. It's just I want to express a concern that they're working extra hard this year. And apropos this discussion, part of the money that they're raising is going to help two stations meet the goal of having surplus in this year's operating expenses. And I'm really concerned that with all that spending, you know, we've got sensible increments in technology, a small increment in technology, a sensible increment in the affiliates program, funding for the Spanish language news, which is an important initiative, but by and large, we've got it's a standstill budget, and so I'm very concerned that they're being required to raise vastly more money than they did before to basically stay in one place and to help a couple of stations meet a goal that their current operations can't help them meet. And I'm wondering what the committee feels we need to do, if anything, about that. I think we're coming up to a real problem if we don't do something about it right now.
I'm a little bit confused about your statement. We were expecting to have a what we called a quiet campaign and, you know, kind of a bio-watt kind of thing to take care of a capital campaign issue. And
Your voice is breaking up. Can you speak directly?
You're
to the
saying
phone?
That we can't pay for our capital campaign that is going to go into our operating expenses? Is that what you're saying, Dave? Is that what you're thinking?
But my understanding is the national office is going to be raising money to give KPFT $100,000 and WBAI $200,000 so that those stations can meet or come close to meeting the surplus requirements. Is that true, Lonnie?
Yes, it is.
Let me ask you this. Did Dwayne come to you saying that he needed National to help him with this?
No, yeah, we were talking about KPFT, as you know, needed to purchase a new transmitter. The cost for that is $59,000. KPFT does not have a reserve to pay for it. They had a plan to replenish the fund from a capital campaign. But at the time of our budget, there was no funds that they could identify for sure that they were going to have. The idea then was to do a joint mail drop with the national office, we're at KPFT working with Donna, and raise $100,000. And we would work with, in conjunction with her planning around the election mail drop and what we were doing at the national office, and thereby raise $100,000. The second reason was that the board requirement is that there be 1 month, and 1 month's expenses for KPFT is $109,000. And so doing the joint mail drop helps to pay for some of the transmitter costs, which are all upfront costs, as you know, and at the same time meet the board requirements. So that's why we came up with that plan. So KPFT did not have $60,000 to pay for the transmitter out of pocket, so they had to figure out how to get it paid for.
See, I was always under the when we first brought this up in our LSB and in the finance committee, I was under the impression we were going to borrow the funds and pay them back from the quiet campaign.
Yeah, I'm not aware the quiet campaign has realized those funds.
Well, they haven't yet. I mean, we're working on it.
Yeah, but just in case.
But I mean, that was the whole point of borrowing from these funds, so we would pay it back.
Yeah, this is Plan B. In case that does not bear fruit or there are unexpected expenses next year, we have a Plan B here. That's what it says. So in case that does not occur, or it doesn't occur, all that money isn't raised.
See, I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth, but frankly, I was under the impression at one point, and I think Dwayne was under the impression, that when you did this mailing, that it was going to be split among all of the stations.
Some stations were interested, but some dropped out. So we ended up working with the two stations. But all the stations were, of course, interested. But, you know, sometimes the dates worked out, sometimes they didn't. And then, you know, the details of how that joint effort would go differed. So we were working with the stations in this case. The ones that stayed with the plan were the ones who felt they needed that income more than the ones that didn't. That's why we ended up with TNW. They also were the ones that needed the income more than some of the other stations for next fiscal.
TNW, okay.
This is LaVarne. Lonnie, just briefly.
You mean T and I? Do you not mean T and I?
I'm sorry, T and I.
No,
right.
Thank you. It's not to get too much into discussion, but when we talked about the mail drops and that T and WBI wanting to participate, you were saying that they would run carts and they would participate in this national mail drops, and we had some discussions earlier. But what I'd like to kind of understand is what part of that, like you said, 200 to 200,000 to BAI and 100 to T. What part of that is really in terms of their listeners or some kind of revenue sharing with National, and what part is just simply a loan that's really coming from National or coming from some of the other stations? And just bottom line, I think that the National mail drops, we talked about this some, is that perhaps there should be some basic revenue sharing with each station so that listeners to those stations, whatever percent, 50%, are listeners to the five stations, if we could somehow realize some revenue from that, or revenue sharing with the national office from that. And perhaps it would include, you know, during the carts where you would talk about the fact that there's this mail drop that's coming out and we would hope to the listeners to pledge. So what is the... Again, I guess there are two questions. One, what part is truly a loan from the national office and really from the other stations? And can we propose some type of revenue sharing for these national mail drops?
Well, let's see, two questions. What's the detail of the one we're planning, and then what would revenue sharing look like with all stations involved? Well, the one with KPFT, for example, Donna, who is their fund developer there, she's going to be working on getting a cart on KPFT, announcing the mail drop, and it's Wake Up the Airways campaign where Pacifica is announcing initiatives to cover the elections, to cover announcing Spanish language programming, which we are doing, announcing plans to expand our affiliate support, which we are doing. All of that is part of the mail drop. They also are doing one, I understand, their KPFT as well. And there would be a thing that Pacifica and KPFT working together to wake up the airways in this election season. So that's the concept, sort of. The revenue part of it is that is that we will look at the revenue from that, and we've committed to help KPFT get to it's 1 month. And if there's more revenue than that, we would likely keep it. Because we need it at the national office, but we would commit to what the first dollars through the door would go to them for, meaning that 1 month. And it's in our interest, because if KPFT doesn't have its 1 month or WBAI doesn't have its 1 month, you know, what they'll do is they either have to go in their savings if they have it, T doesn't have savings, I doesn't either, or they would simply, you know, have to postpone paying bills, and one of their bills that they would postpone their central services to the national office, so it's in our interest to help. Otherwise, we simply will be stuck with a deficit ourselves, so. And we'll have to raise the money some way. So it's the same pot of money. It's one network, and nobody's truly independent. So
now you're suggesting that KPFT would be considering not paying the national office?
Well,
it
happens. Sure. If a station has a bad drive and they are not able to, they're going to pay their staff first. They're not going to not pay their staff, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I would work with them around central service bills and say, okay, let's postpone it next month, see how the next drive goes, and sure.
Can I just interject? And we know that this is what has happened with WBAI over the year. And can you tell us how many months that they are in arrears in terms of paying central services? And again, to get back to my question, is there some mechanism that you could determine the revenue that you receive, what the amount is that comes from each station area, and perhaps do some type of revenue sharing and explain this to the GM so they'll understand that it's coming from their signal, from within their signal area, and as you say, we are a foundation, we do have a national campaign, and to come up with some revenue sharing. I mean, say 50-50, because I think it's, as I've said before, I think it's wonderful that the national office is doing this and it's trying to tap other resources rather than have, like with BAI, we're saying 92 days of fundraising. You know, it's both not only listener fatigue, but also staff fatigue, and you know, that's something that we definitely don't want. We want to see new ways of generating revenue and not to see these efforts that are just basically result in, again, listener fatigue and staff fatigue. So, again, is there a way to perhaps share the revenue and have the GMs understand that it's coming from their revenue, it's coming from their listening area, say a 50-50 share in terms of with the stations for revenue that's generated through the mail drops and come from the listener areas?
Yeah, we
have. Can I get on the stack too, LaVarne, please?
Sure.
Yeah, we did broach that conversation in connection with this mailing. We were going to say, let's do a national mailing in an election year. It will pay for the national program, and all the stations would benefit, because it was national program. We would come back to the stations, and it would help them raise money, presumably, because they've got, you know, more national programming coming to their local listeners as well. Yes, we did broach it, but the dates didn't work out for two or three stations, but the other two did embrace it, and we want to, you know, looking at that spring mailing, seeing if we can't get that revenue formula and that process of culling listeners from Area A versus listeners that where they're not coming from any of the station areas, or their acquisition list people, and seeing if we can come up with a revenue sharing proposal. So, yes, they're eager to do it. Who would not be? We're eager to do it.
Right.
We're eager to do it. It's just it's really going on is that we at Pacific have talked about off-air initiatives that we can go to raise our revenue and not depend solely on on-air initiatives. And this is just one kind of thing to do. And everyone is interested in exploring it. So this is just the first step where we're moving in that direction. Turns out we really needed to do it as well, but it's also a good thing to do to look at off-air initiatives, and that's where we're at now. But the March one will be a little bit more organized in terms of the revenue sharing formulas that we'll use. So yes, we have an opportunity to do it on this next mailing in the spring.
Okay, great. Baroudi?
Yes, I wanted to find out, what does it cost to do the mail drop? I know you circulated something, but I'm not in front of my computer. But what does it cost to do this mail drop that BAI is going to be receiving the $200,000 out of?
Well, it's about 40 cents a piece, and an item, 40 cents a piece. So that's sort of what it costs. But it is in the mail drop. See, a lot of stations have done mail drops, but they don't have a lot of experience. We do, so we're sort of sharing that expertise. What WBI get out of it's not just the cash, but you know, what lists we use, who do we mail to, what kinds of what's the copy got to look like? What do we get a person to open that envelope? What do we get a person to read beyond page one and not?
So how many pieces is that mailing for New York?
No.
Well, we're sort of it's not for New York. It is what we're going to do is that million piece mailing. When we get it back, we will look at where the funds came from, and we're promising WBI, if there's some money there, up to that $200,000, especially looking at if we can identify where that a lot of it, you know, what parts of it came from there at the tri-state area that they broadcast to. Now, if that amount that came from the broadcast, the tri-state broadcast area, doesn't come to $200,000, we're saying we're going to give them the $200,000 anyway if we have the funds. That's what we're saying.
So I'm just trying to figure out what is it costing to raise $200,000 for WBAI?
I think we raised half. I mean, it costs about $150,000 for. It'll cost about $150,000 for every half million piece. So I can't answer it right now. I'd have to know exactly how many were WBAI pieces, and I can't. We're just doing a mass mailing.
But we're getting $200,000 out of a whole pot of how much you expect to raise off the mailing.
Well, we're sending out a million pieces, and
what's your average return on investment with mailings?
We spend about $400,000 and pull net about $600,000 to $700,000.
So you say we net $700,000, or we're going to gross $700,000?
I should know this by heart, but in a mailing of half a million pieces, I know that better because that's how we sort of do it. Out of half a million pieces, the cost would be around 150, and we would net close to $200,000-$300,000. And gross, I don't know, 600,000.
So you're saying it's going to cost you 150,000, so it's about 30 cents a piece then?
Yeah, I said 40 cents a piece, yes. Yes, I'm looking at the numbers now.
We
half a million pieces, let's say 400,000 pieces. We're gross at 363,000. The cost would be 159,000. We would net 200,000. That answers that question about what would be involved in raising the 200,000 if we were to earmark it for WBAI. We'd mail out a half million pieces. We would it would cost about 40 cents a piece.
Netting $200,000 on spending $360,000?
No. Very good,
yeah.
Rudy.
About $400,000.
Is that what it is?
And
yeah. So it might be easy. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Rudy.
Yeah, I'm just. Is that what he's saying? It's going to cost us $360,000 just to make $200,000.
The revenue, the cost is $159,000, and we would net $200,000.
A million pieces at 40 cents an item.
Yeah.
Expecting about 60 to 65 per, and about maybe about 12,000 responses, and about $60 to $65 per response.
Yeah.
So that's about $720, and that's $400. So you're netting $320.
Yeah. Well, I just gave the numbers for he asked how many pieces would have to be mailed out to net $200,000 for WBI. The answer is about 450,000 pieces. We would get 5,336 responses, averaging $55 a response. And the cost would be, in this case, it would be 34 cents a piece. And the gross cost would be $159,000. So the gross revenue would be $363,000. Here's the math. $363,000 would come in, and out of that, $160,000 would be deducted for the expenses, and you would net $200,000. It's in the mail drop template that I sent out. That is exactly the, what is being demonstrated there. How would $200,000 be raised? And say in this case, the example for WBI. So it's really right there. And
let me ask
you how much was for postage, how much was for printing.
Right.
For lists, for buying lists. So that is the example. It would seem,
I'm just thinking out loud, it would only be, almost be easier to give us the money. Right?
Sure.
I mean, if you think about the amount of work, if you add in staff time, the amount of stress of worrying about is the money going to come, are we going to get this percentage and all that stuff?
Rudy, stop trying to talk me out of this. Okay?
No, I'm missing something here, but
no,
Rudy,
I don't think that's the case.
Just a second, are you through, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just ponder this some more. I'm finished for now.
All right, go ahead, Teresa.
Well, there are some other factors that need to be taken into consideration. One is that we did a mailing one time before, and we mentioned the affiliates, and we were sending letters out to people that donated to the affiliates, and some of them kind of got the impression that they were donating directly to the affiliates. So it did create some bad feelings because, you know, they gave to the, you know, this mail out, and then the next month they got maybe a solicitation from, you know, from their station in Denver, Colorado, or, you know, Boulder or Tampa or something. So that's one thing that does need to be, you know, considering, because maybe we might be fishing in the same pools, and that could cause a problem.
Well, we are, in fact, but the point is that these are all, they may or may not be listeners to that particular station. No station in any area owns all of the potential listeners in any area. People make their own judgments as to what they want to support and why. We're pitching national programming, at which, of course, benefits the affiliates potentially as well, because it provides programming to them. But we don't know whether the people who are responding who live in Boulder or whatever are listeners to the station that is in Boulder. And if any station argues that we can't mail into their area because we might happen to touch on one of their listeners, I think that's quite a statement to make, to tell you the truth.
I'm only adding to Baruti's comment that it doesn't necessarily guarantee monies, and there are other factors involved, and it's just.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's funny, but the fact is, if we didn't make money, we wouldn't do it. I mean, let's be logical about this, and we're trying to create a fund of money. But and all joking aside, and I don't like direct mail myself, but you know, I give to direct mail pieces. It depends on the cause, and we're putting our case before a national audience, some of whom live in signal areas, and many of whom don't. Many of whom are making their donation because they believe in the idea of Pacifica or what it produces, whether they actually hear it on the radio or not.
This is Dave.
Dave.
Mine too.
And,
two points. First, we could easily determine whether their impulse to donate is based in part on their listenership by having a checkbox on every mailing asking whether they listen whether they're a listener to one of the following stations, and they check the station off that they're a listener to, and that deals with the fact that some people may be frequent listeners but not subscribers. The other point is that if you raise money from an audience on the basis of a belief in what we're doing, and then you take that money and put it to things that just keep you treading water and staying in one place, then what's going to happen over time is other organizations who are making strategic investments in meeting those same civic needs using new distribution technologies and the rest will, further on down the line, have a stronger claim on those resources. So it is bad strategy to raise that money and not spend it on significant investments to actually serve those goals above and beyond just treading water.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Brian?
Well, getting back to Baruti's earlier point, if the projections from Lonnie are accurate, what you're looking at is a 200% return on investment in a fundraising activity. So National's parking some cash with BAI, getting it back within the same year, and BAI is coming out $200,000 to the benefit. That's if the numbers you cited hold. I mean, that would be the rationale for doing something like that. And I think in general, you know, direct mail is the least annoying form of grassroots fundraising that we engage in. Less annoying than on-air marathons, less annoying than telemarketing, in terms of what actually ticks off your base as much as gets money from them.
Yeah.